This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I put my hands in the future in robotics and technology as opposed to you and I.
This is why our civilization is going to crap.
Now back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
Oh, we get into a bevy of topics over the course of Warriors This Week. We got Golden State, Phoenix tonight. We got the idea of Waymos killing our city. And Dan Devone, you know, I think a lot of people are more locked into the Warriors. Maybe it's because of the lack of interest or waning interest in the Niners, and you know, the Giants are third fiddle. But also it's because, you know, the Warriors feel a little bit back after last season. And I don't know if people just all of a sudden were projecting into April and May and June, but it's almost, I felt a lot of people, especially after the post game I did Monday and Wednesday, it's like not that the world's, you know, the sky is falling, but it's like, oh my God, you know, we're a 35 win team again. It's like, no, you know, you're probably not a 55-60 win team, but this Warriors team isn't bad all of a sudden.
Yeah, I think the Warriors and the Warrior fan base are groping a little bit. They're trying to find their new identity. And I think with the early success, a lot of Warrior fans said, oh, we're back. Because there's a huge generation that just knows one thing, and that's the Warriors going to either Western Conference Finals or NBA Finals and winning the thing. And when you're synonymous with winning and you get off to the hot start, I think that it was sort of pervasive throughout the Bay Area that, oh, the Golden State Warriors are back, and the Warriors are going to be a good team. They're going to be a top two seed in the Western Conference again this year. Hey, listen, that might be at the end of the day. But I think what everybody has to grapple with is that the days of a young Steph Curry, Draymond Green, as well as Klay Thompson, and you can throw Kevin Durant in there, that's over. It's just, we're not going to experience that again. There is not going to be another dynastic run with these guys. Maybe they can find a new core in the next couple of years via draft and a semblance of this, but as far as trying to identify who the Warriors are, I think people are still trying to recapture the past, which I think they have to let that go. And just sort of, you know, embrace what this is. And what this is, I don't think any of us really has any idea. It's just sort of take it as it goes and find out exactly where this experimentation of Steve Kerr playing this many guys with what has been a successful start despite the recent rash of losses, just, you know, take this game to game and not get ahead of ourselves in trying to label or identify who the Warriors are at this point.
Well, yeah, I would preach patience certainly with this team because it is process it is process based, pardon me. And I think the player that represents their approach to this year for me is Buddy Hield. Like, Buddy Hield's a player that you're going to have to be patient with. Through the first eight games of this season, Buddy Hield averaged 21 points a game, shot north of 50% from three-point range, and the Warriors lost one game. They were 7-1. You look at his last 10 games, he's shooting 37% from three-point range. He's only averaging 11 points, and the Warriors are 5-5. So those are inevitably going to be the ebbs and flows that you see with this team when you're playing as many dudes as Steve Kerr is playing. You have to give ample minutes to particular players, but if Buddy Hield's not shooting the crap out of the ball, he's only going to be playing 20 or 22 minutes a night. You know, if Lindy Waters begins to struggle, he might step out of the starting lineup. There's going to be a lot of interchangeable parts. And one big reason is because of Melton's injury and kind of the void that it leaves the Warriors with. But again, even with Melton, like we were talking about with Curry, even with Curry, I still think there's some offensive issues with this basketball team. Even with Melton, I don't think he would have solved all the things that we're talking about. He certainly would have helped, and they might have been able to win two or maybe all three of the games that they lost. But I still think that there's something that this Warriors team is missing, and to me, the most glaring part is instant offense. I don't think they have a player like that alongside Steph. It doesn't have to be an alpha or a number one player, but someone who can get you a basket consistently, that's something that you need in the NBA, because defense isn't always going to be there, as we saw on Monday against Brooklyn.
You remember last year when Jonathan Kuminga, and sort of all roads go back to him when you talk about the number two, and he had was it 23 consecutive games over 20 points? And
yeah,
you felt as though this is what you need. It was right after he complained or indirectly complained about playing time, and so yeah, they gave him run, and he proved to be right. He proved Steve Kerr to be wrong, sort of in a vacuum. But here we are again, and not to continually dig this up with Jonathan Kuminga, but just who the hell is this guy at the end of the day? Is he that guy where it looked as though he turned the corner? Okay, remember that? Just take yourself back to about a year ago where Jonathan Kuminga said, you know, I was playing and I was doing well and you benched me. You know, you went Moses Moody on me. And, you know, that's just, I need some time. I need some run here. And then Steve Kerr puts him into games and he responds with those consecutive 20 or more points of contest. And you're thinking, all right, it's on. Here's Jonathan Kuminga was right. And here we are today where, again, it's a good game versus two bad games, two good games, a bad. I mean, I just don't know how to get my arms around this guy. And we can preach patience, and you can say 22 years of age to a certain degree because it's not like he's 19 anymore. And you and I have talked about that entire draft class, everybody got paid. And it was a stellar class that came out with Jonathan Kuminga, the Franz Wagners. We don't need to visit the Jalen Greens and the Cade Cunninghams. And you would think that, obviously, he's not playing in Detroit, where Jonathan Kuminga would have gotten a lot more opportunity to play. He's with the Golden State Warriors, so that's clearly worthy of an asterisk. But still, how much patience, if you're the Golden State Warriors, are you willing to invest in this guy?
Yeah, I do think his draft class, which is a very good one, is going to be held against him, probably unfairly. But it's also hard to not look at the Wagners, the Şengüns, I mean, even players that were taken above him. Evan Mobley, Scotty Barnes, Cade Cunningham, players that were taken below him, Trey Murphy, Herb Jones. There's a lot of Jalen Johnson for Atlanta. There's a lot of ballers in that class, a lot of guys that got paid, Jalen Suggs, Cam Thomas, yeah, even Moses Moody to some extent. You know, there were a lot of good players that came out of that 2021 NBA draft. And while Kuminga hasn't realized his potential yet, to me, it is a little concerning. And it's as much to do with JK as it is about the Warriors' view of him that last season, and I know a decent amount of it was because Wiggins missed a little bit of time, and Wiggins was much more inconsistent last year than he's been this season. But if you just look at the first 16 games, Kuminga's only started four of them. Last year, he averaged 16 points a game. This year, he's 13.5. Last year, he shot 53% from the floor. This year, he's at 43%. His three-point percentage is down. His free-throw percentage is down. His rebounds are down. His assists are down. All of his statistics across the board are down. And maybe the most important one is minutes played. So I just wonder if the Warriors are ever going to prioritize his development, because it doesn't appear like it is a priority. And I think that's also how they've been able to win games. You know, he hasn't been needed in every single game, but he helped them beat Houston. I think if he plays against San Antonio and Brooklyn, it might help them win those games. But I don't see the Warriors looking at him in his first contract season and saying, all right, this is going to be the reason why we get to this many wins or we go this far. Jonathan Kuminga is just a piece. And just a piece isn't typically a guy that gets a massive deal like he wants.
Well, it's a chicken or the egg, because while he's a piece, he could be a bigger piece if he proved himself, right? I don't think Steve Kerr would relegate him to the 18 to 20 minutes that you talked about if, when he got his opportunity, he proved that he's worthy of staying on the floor like that of Draymond Green and Steph Curry. So it's one or the other, that the Warriors look at him and saying, okay, we're going to give you an opportunity just like everybody else. And if you play well, we understand, you know, your age and your draft status. We picked you number 7 in the lottery. We want you to do well. But you have to prove yourself on the court. And to this point, he hasn't, which is why he's limited. So there's two ways of looking at that. You could say, yeah, the Warriors are deterring his growth. But at the same time, they're also giving him an opportunity to prove that he's worthy of getting more run.
No, that's true. But my point is that he isn't a priority. I'm not saying that that's incorrect. Like, I don't think that Jonathan Kuminga has made himself worthy of being a priority with the minutes that you're talking about. Like, I don't think that he's taken such a significant step so far this season that Steve Kerr says, all right, you have to be a 30 minutes per game guy. Or even you have to be a starter. I mean, we've asked Steve Kerr about this pregame, postgame. If you ask about JK, it's, oh, what we need is scoring. We need that punch off the bench. You know, it's not, well, we really need his forcefulness on defense. We need his rebounding. We need his playmaking. We need his passing. We need his ability to get to the free throw line. We need JK to score. And if he can do that, he can help us. And it feels like he's also saying that if that night Kuminga's not scoring, he's not going to play. That is what Jonathan Kuminga is right now to this Warriors team, which, to his credit, they need. They need a secondary scorer and someone specifically off the bench that can get you a basket. But 13.5 points per game on 44% shooting is not the efficient score that's going to help this Warriors team to a top four seed. It's a player that can sometimes help you and sometimes hurt you. And Steve Kerr doesn't feel like is going to put Kuminga in a position where he can hurt the Warriors if he doesn't have a good night.
Don't you think he's sort of the complete antithesis of Podziemski? Because Podziemski doesn't score, but the reason that he stays on the floor is because everything else he does. Whereas if Jonathan Kuminga isn't scoring, why am I giving him an opportunity?
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I mean, I do think that there have been times where Pods has hurt the Warriors, but it doesn't happen nearly as often if he's...
But big picture, the reason why he's in that rotation, even when he's not scoring, is because of all the things that we've continually outlined about this young man, and that is making the smart basketball play. It's about getting rebounds, about taking charges, understanding defensive rotations, about being able to distribute the basketball. Because he's not scoring, obviously, but yet he's still in that rotation. And I don't think anybody, and I know that there's some that would saying, hey, listen, man, you need to score, and it's becoming more and more apparent. But I don't look at Pajemski as being a detractor to the Golden State Warriors right now. Whereas if Jonathan Kuminga comes into a game and he's not scoring, to your point, he's just simply going to get yanked.
Yeah, and he probably should. But again, they need that. Just like they also need what Pods gives them too. And that's I don't think Pods has been perfect. He was equally terrible in the first quarter against OKC.
He was brutal. So was Kuminga.
All of them were. That's why you're down 16 points after 12 minutes. But you know, I think that Pajemski gets grouped into the category of, for me, like jack of all trades, master of none, where it looks like he's, I don't know, it feels like he, because he can do more things, I think he gets the benefit of the doubt, as opposed to Kuminga, where it's like, all right, he's not scoring, he's not helping you. But Pods, he still has hurt the Warriors at times this year. And I actually think it's because of his lack of aggression. Like, they need guys to get shots up. One of the reasons why I think the Warriors offensively have struggled mightily, and not just down the stretch, but over the last few games, it's, you know, their offensive rating has come down, their three-point percentage has come down, is guys are not playing with the confidence that they did the first 10 games of the season. You know, you're overall as a team shooting 37%, which is good. You know, you're getting up the eighth most threes in terms of rate in the league, but if you're not hitting a bunch of them, like one of the reasons why they were able to blow teams out is because they were just bombard threes. And without Curry, they certainly don't have an extra guy. But, I mean, they just don't have players that are going to make three or four threes a game on a given night.
And that's a problem.
Yeah, but I think Pods can be one of those. Like, Pods, actually, OKC is a perfect game that I think Pajemski, for example, this summer envisioned being in without Steph and getting you 25 to 30, whether that's reasonable or not. But there was a game last year in Milwaukee where I think he had 26 or 28. He helped them win that game without Curry in Milwaukee. That hasn't happened so far this year. And I think that Pods is capable of doing that, but we just haven't seen it.
I do too. And I think that there's going to be, you need a level of patience. For some reason, I'm not worried about Pajemski's offense. I do think all the work he put in over the offseason will pay dividends. It just hasn't up to this point. But at some point, it's going to kick in. I'm just uncertain as to whether the three is really in his bag. I like that he's developed that mid-range. It's something he didn't have last year. And he's always going to get to the rim, and it's always going to be a little bit awkward because he's left-handed. But he can score. But just getting back to comparing and contrasting him with Jonathan Kuminga, again, the reason why Pajemski gets play, even though he's not scoring the ball, it's because of understanding all the other things in the game. And I don't think that Jonathan Kuminga has grasped that yet. I think he understands when Steve Kerr sits him down and says, listen, you need to rebound the basketball, that you need to do all these things in order for you to play in our system. We've always been a team that's been predicated on defense and understanding defensive rotations. It's go talk to you know, your partner there, Draymond Green, because he will tell you that this is the Warrior way. It's Steph Curry doesn't just shoot and score threes. You know, Steph buys in defensively. Steph knows exactly what to do with the basketball. There's a cerebral part to the Warrior game that I don't think Jonathan Kuminga has grasped, despite every single year it being pounded into his head that you need to rebound the ball. He's got to, when you see him on the floor, you got to recognize, man, he understands where to be defensively, or he just took that charge, or he's on the ground looking for that loose ball. Like, he is yet to bought in. I think he does it sometimes just to demonstrate to Steve Kerr that, hey, look, I'm doing what it is that you asked. But it has to be more instinctive. It has to be sort of in your DNA. It's not learned behavior. It's not one of those where it's like, I'm doing this so that, you know, I get an opportunity to play. He's got to recognize that all those things, the small things, the basketball plays, are just as important as him going the full 94 feet and dunking on somebody. And I don't think that that's fully seeped in.
No, I agree. I think he's made strides though. Like he's clearly gotten better over the past 2 years. The issue is that they're running out of time of when
that's
to make
the thing.
A choice.
How long are we going to talk about he's taking a step or he's taking strides? That was good the first 2 or 3 years. Year four, it's like when do you arrive?
Well, but that's also part of the issue is that the area of improvement that Kuminga I think is most capable of making is scoring the basketball. Is giving you offense. But that hasn't happened to the rate that you would want it to. Again, he's averaging less points and he's less efficient from the floor. He's not shooting as well from three than even he was last year. So even the area that you expect him to step forward in, and some of that is he's not getting playing time, but I hate to break it to you, like just because you potentially either that he gets traded or in the offseason or in the future, maybe 5 years from now, he leaves Golden State. You're not just all of a sudden going to be given 30 minutes a night, unless it's for a terrible basketball team. And I think that Kuminga also wants to win, too, but helping and making winning plays is something that, to your point, I think Pods does a bit more frequently. And along with his position, the Warriors' lack of ball handling, That's probably why he plays more than a lot of others that people think he should be getting or shouldn't be getting burned over. But
it also depends on sort of the system and the team that you're playing for. If he goes to the Charlotte Hornets, for example, and Charles Lee's your head coach. That's completely opposite of someone like that of a Steve Kerr and the Warrior way, right? Charles Lee will just let you play. There is no ceiling. If you watch LaMelo Ball these days, LaMelo Ball is shooting as many threes as Steph Curry, and he's doing half of them on 1 foot.
He's on the shelf again, by the way.
But that's just the structure, because I think everybody thinks that the way Steve Kerr does it, you know, that's sort of the blueprint for everybody else in the NBA. That's not necessarily the case. Jonathan Kuminga, if he goes to some place like that of Charlotte, where you have a Charles Lee who's just saying, listen, I think you got all the talent in the world, and unlike that of Steve Kerr, you know, I'm not putting any restrictions on you. Do you. We think you can blossom into being that guy. To give you a football analogy, it's sort of like, you know, during the offseason, the Dallas Cowboys were like, hey, Trey Lance, we want you to play the entire offseason because I know the one thing that you haven't done is play football. And the guy ensuingly threw 5 interceptions in the game. That was the end of him. But the point is that I think everybody looks at this through the lens of just the Warriors. He can go someplace where somebody envisions him of being a star. And get that opportunity to do what it is that he thinks, you know, he potentially could do in this league, and that being Jonathan Kuminga.
Well, I think the Warriors want him to be a star. You know, it's not like they took him and have stuck with him and have refused to trade him.
But it's getting late in the game for me, and maybe it's just me, and I'm trying to be patient, but do you think he's going to be a star in this league?
If I had to bet, no.
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't. But The biggest issue is, I mean,
how do we qualify star? Because I think he's going to score in this league.
Is he going to make multiple All-Star teams? I would bet no. Like, that's hard to do. Like, you got to be a top 15 player in your conference to make the All-Star team. That's not an easy feat. That means you're a top 30 player, thereabouts, in the NBA.
So we're just ruling out all NBA.
Well, I'm just saying, like, making an All-Star team. Being all NBA means you're a top 15 player in the league. You're on one of the 3 5-man lineups. You think Kuminga can be an all-NBA player?
Do I?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, I wouldn't bet that either. That doesn't mean that he can't help a team. That doesn't mean that he can't be a guy that, again, you know, is a solid player, but I think he wants to be the all-NBA guy now. And it's unfair to expect him to do that. Even if Steve Kerr said, you know what, JK, we're gonna give you as much rope as you want. You can play as much as you'd like. You could play 39 minutes a night, and I don't care. I don't think all of a sudden that's gonna transform him into the player that he wants to be.
But is it unfair? It's not necessarily unfair when you're asking
to expect that?
Well, no, but if you're asking for the sort of money he wants, you gotta be knocking on that door. as far as an all-star. You got to be in the conversation. Well, he thinks he's an all-star.
Who in his class is knocking on that door?
Are you kidding me? Cunningham?
I wouldn't say Cunningham is an all-NBA player.
He's knocking on the door. I think Franz Wagner is making noise in year four. I think the list of guys that you talked about are... I mean, Franz Wagner is just... Now that, you know, Banchero's been out, see what Wagner's doing? He's averaging 30, more than 30 a game. The guy is just double-doubles every night.
No, he's been very good, but I'm saying like as a top six forward in the NBA.
Well, I'm saying being in the conversation right now, and I think all of those guys, you know, you could say another year or two of this, and yeah, welcome to the club.
That's a good point. I mean, and we can dig deeper into this conversation. 888-957-9570 is the number. You know, are you looking at the Warriors right now in their last three losses? How are you reacting to them? We're talking about Kuminga, you know, his development in relation to where the Warriors are at, where their season's headed. I think they're still in a good spot. I just think that people were getting over the heels on what this season could become. They're putting the cart before the horse. And I'm interested to see how they also play against a team that's star-studded tonight like the Phoenix Suns. And Dan DeVone will have Warriors Live 40 at 5 o'clock. 888-957-9570 is the number. Please hang on, Jimmy in Bayview, Austin in San Jose. We'll get your call on the other side. But we got to hit a break here on Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event is happening now. Get some of the best deals of the season with up to 50% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings delivers big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. Skip the long lines or waiting around at home all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Get your whole home installed for one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event today for some of the best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide, plus premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
All right, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket, and if you're betting college football bowl games, and that can be a dicey endeavor, we're the podcast for you. We're releasing breakdowns for every matchup with new episodes dropping almost every day. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't have a homeless person urinating on my front steps, if I don't hear that dog barking next door to me and I go outside and it's complete solitude, I freak the hell out.
Now back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
In the Presidio? Oh my gosh. What's been going on over there? San Francisco's a different place. I gotta tell you what, man. You gotta turn your mic on.
I bet you can count the number of sirens you've heard in Alameda Island in the last 5 years.
Well, I live in the Mission, so I fall asleep to it. 888-957-9570 is the number if you want to tell us about your horror stories at night, or if you want to talk about the Golden State Warriors, we're taking your calls. Let's go to Austin in San Jose. Austin, kick us off. What's going on, man? How are you?
Join the conversation on this holiday weekend. Listen, you guys forced me to call, and you know I got some things that you pressed my buttons on, man. Mm-hmm. One was, and I can't believe, and let's have some fun today, guys. This is all in good. I don't want you guys to take this the wrong way, but the idea of projecting and selling us on Przemski and these guys that are really role players, they're professionals, they've got to where they are, but the idea that we're we're trying to sell these guys as being guys that are going to take us beyond and play on a given night against the guys we saw. The Nets, OKC basically toyed with the Warriors the other night. The Nets came in on back-to-back when they should have been given up in the fourth quarter and beat the Warriors. Okay, all that being said, on any given night, we can beat any team. But if we go out and start projecting these guys that are really bench role players into roles they're not suitable for, they don't have the talent, guys. How about going out and getting guys that are more talented? The only guy that has talent on that's not part of the Steph, Wiggins, and Draymond trio is Kuminga. And yet we find every day we come up with things that Kuminga doesn't do. And Dan, you said something just recently. You said, hey, on another team, another system, they might not care as much about what Kuminga can't do. They would probably focus on what he does do well. We seem to focus on what the guy doesn't do well. So I'm really thinking that, hey, man, I think we're really overprojecting these guys. I think Warriors are probably going to be a 3-4 game over 500 team at the end. That might be good enough to get us into the playoffs. But we start thinking these guys are a juggernaut given the talent level. And you guys tell me if I'm wrong. What am I missing? Where is the talent level beyond the first four guys? And listen, GP2, Krasinski do a lot of the same things. How good would Caruso look on this roster? And we saw what talent looks like with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Jalen Williams from Santa Clara, the OKC Jalen Williams. I would give three of our young guys for him. I would trade all of them to get him, just them. Okay? That's how much I think we're behind in terms of our young talent. So, guys, you got me worked up. Apologize for the phone, but that's what I got this morning. Thanks.
Happy holidays, Austin. Yeah, I think some fair points. I mean, you know, the overprojecting is natural. People are going to do it. But I am with him, and that's why the Kuminga thing is, I don't know, it's so difficult for me to figure out, is because I think he's right. He is the most talented player outside of, you know, maybe your big three guys. But for whatever reason, he hasn't put it together. And I don't think he's done it enough so far for me that he's the priority. Like, if the Warriors traded Jonathan Kuminga this season, I would not be shocked. And it's because he hasn't done enough yet.
Yeah, I think that I stand by what it is I say about Jonathan Kuminga. But when I say trade him, let's not misinterpret here. I'm not saying get rid of him. I'm not saying, like, let's go in another direction. It's about value and what it is that you're getting in return. But the idea of Jonathan Kuminga, and I was on the, when I first saw this guy, I'm like, that's exactly what this team needs. And I saw him in Las Vegas dealing on guys. And even in that first year, I mean, he had some hiccups. And you're so excited about the future with Jonathan Kuminga. Then year two, it's sort of similar to that of year one. Then year three, it's just, and now we're in year four. And I do think it's, you know, it's within your right to ask the questions, will this ever arrive? Is this, you know, he's obviously going to get better, but is the idea that I'm being sold, or at least personally, I thought that this guy was going to be a guy who's on a fast track to be a star in this league, and how we qualify stars, whether he's an NBA All-Star or not, I'm highly doubtful. And seeing enough of his basketball, I hope I'm proven wrong, but I think I've arrived at that conclusion where he could be a scorer at times, but whether he can be a consistent scorer. And I'm getting to the point where I'm a little done with, well, we need patience, and the guy's only 22, and you can't move off him somebody at this age. I don't want to make that mistake either. I would shop him, but it all depends on what it is that I'm getting in return. Am I going to get fair value as far as another young player that fits better into the system? So when I say Jonathan Kuminga frustrates me and they should trade him, it does not mean that we're just going to discard him. It's all about what it is that you're getting in return for this young player.
But that's the thing, is you're running out of time. You are. I think people have to come to the realization that by the end of this season, you have to pick whether you believe in him or not. And that's what the Warriors are trying to figure out. You have to decide whether you believe in him enough to give him a large sum of money.
Well,
or
you don't
not
have to.
Yes, you do.
Well,
if you want to
keep him. He can wait another year.
No. He's a restricted free agent.
So he's restricted. I'm sorry.
No, but I'm saying, so someone will either dictate his value for you, or someone will dictate his value for you, or you can move off of him before then. That's where this is coming towards. That's the head it's coming to. So, you know, I think Kuminga is a good player. I actually think he's...
Like, my point is, you don't have to do it this year.
Yes, you do. This upcoming summer.
Yeah, but this year he can play the full season.
Oh, yeah.
And you can look at the body of work and make that decision in the offseason. So this idea that you have to make a trade to the trade deadline or this year is... I would err on the side of I want to see more of Jonathan Kuminga before I give him any sort of an extension. And there's not a gun to my head that I have to do it before the trade deadline or this basketball season is my point.
No, I agree with that. But I don't know how much he's going to be able to do between now and the end of the season to drastically change your mind. You know what I'm saying? Like to me, if you felt the way that you felt, you know, in regards to like, all right, I love JK. I want him to be here. Give him the money. He would already have the contract.
Yeah,
that's kind of how I feel about him, and that's why it's been difficult for me to watch the ups and downs. He's not the only person. I think we just end up talking about him because again of what Austin is discussing, which is he has the highest upside. He clearly is the most talented of the young players on the Warriors. Is he the most talented compared to the OKC guys? Perhaps not, but the Warriors don't have that. They're not afforded that luxury. Kuminga is the guy that you have to decide whether or not you want to lean into or not. And he's 22 years old. He's young. He's got a lot of basketball ahead of him. But you got to make a choice, and it's an expensive one.
Well, the reason why his name surfaces is because, again, and we did this last year, who's the number two to Steph Curry? And we said it's got to be Jonathan Kuminga. He's the young player who needs to take the next step. He didn't take that step last year. Once again, we go into this season. It's the exact same blueprint. Who's going to be the number two to Jonathan Kuminga? And it came to the forefront against OKC that when Steph Curry's not available, they don't have that guy. And who's that guy? Well, again, it was supposed to be Jonathan Kuminga. Therein lies the frustration, I think, for a lot of people. That, once again, we're in another campaign where we're waiting for this guy to take over the mantle, that I'm that guy. Well, that was another opportunity for you against OKC, and you're clearly not that guy.
Well, I mean, not yet. No, he's not. He's not that guy yet. And people have questions if he ever will be. But the other part of this, too, is that he clearly provides something that the Warriors don't have. I mean, the Warriors don't have someone that can get to the rim. Outside of him, even Wiggins isn't as explosive as Kuminga is. I think Wiggins is a better scorer. He's a far better 3-point shooter. But Wiggins had 9 points in the opening minute against OKC. He had 11 in the first half. And I think until he hit that three with like a few seconds left to make it a 1-point game, he had 2 points in the second half. I mean, Wiggins disappears. Now, I think he's a more steady defensive player, but both him and Kuminga are in their own ways extremely inconsistent. And for me, the pairing that I'd like to see Steve Kerr lean into more would be those two together, but they also haven't proven that they can really, for extended periods of time, play well because they're kind of the same mold. It's your turn, my turn. And both of them at this point in their careers, Wiggins, because of, you know what he is, and Kuminga, because he hasn't done it yet, but neither of them create for others.
Well, that's interesting that you say we know who he is.
Wiggins?
Yeah. Do we? Because I think that while we're sort of like, yeah, Jonathan Kuminga should be the trade piece, but I'm a little reluctant to move off on Andrew Wiggins. This might be the perfect opportunity to move off on Andrew Wiggins because he's demonstrating to everybody, he's showcasing right now that he's a changed player. But if you're willing to be a bit of a riverboat gambler, maybe if you're the Warriors, you're like, I know this guy, and I know that there's a chance, there's a high percentage that he's going to go back to being Andrew Wiggins, maybe not now, but in the latter stages of the game, of the season. So if I deal him now where he has a high value, I might get something. I might be able to hoodwink somebody and fleece somebody for some good young talent because while Andrew Wiggins is playing well up to this point, I mean, his reputation is his reputation, and I don't think we can discount what's happened over the last 3 years. And so I'm not saying that that's necessarily what the Warriors are going to do, but it's a consideration, is it not? That maybe you can shop Andrew Wiggins and saying, look at, you know, be the used car salesman. She runs now just like a brand new baby. This car is going just like it did back in the day. You want to buy it? And the Warriors all along know that there's a good chance that he's going to revert to being who he had been over the last couple of years, which was, again, another frustrating piece.
But if you're moving him, or you're, you know, and these are decisions they have a long time to make, but if you're moving Wiggins, to me, it's for a large salary player. It's not to get younger. I don't think the Warriors are looking at the trade market right now and saying, we need to get younger. I think they did that this offseason.
Well,
if you
have to package him with a Jonathan Kuminga, my point being is that all of a sudden he's not a trade commodity, or he's no longer on the shelf because he's playing well. To me, I would take a look at the body of work, because you know it so intimately, being an executive of the Golden State Warriors, that what it is that you're seeing from Andrew Wiggins could be more temporary than anything else.
But to me, if you've really waited this long, you know, the course of two seasons essentially, to get this guy back, yeah, I just don't see why they would move off on him so quickly. I mean,
he was halfway out the door just a couple of months ago.
Well, but that's what I'm saying, though, is if you didn't move him then, when no one wanted him, quite frankly, then why would you? I don't know. To me, that would be a, I don't know, I guess a step in the opposite direction of where they're trying to go, which is competing.
Because the other thing you have to keep in mind, while we talk about the Golden State Warriors and that we need this team to breathe before we can really pass judgment on them, and now that we're about 20 games in, we're beginning to see some chinks in the armor. And as it relates to Andrew Wiggins, there's a good chance that once this season goes along, that we're going to see the old Andrew Wiggins resurface. That what it is that we're witnessing right now is just a sample size of a good, you know, 20 games into the season. But once we get into, you know, 50, 60 games in the year, I think that there's still some that are holding their breath that the old Andrew Wiggins is lying in there somewhere, and he may surface at some point during the latter part of this year.
That's possible. 888-957-9570 is the number. Let's go to Skills and Vallejo wants to talk about Kuminga. Skills, what's going on?
Hey, good morning, guys. Earlier, you guys were talking about what Pajinski brings to the table and what Kuminga brings to the table. And I just wanted to, because Dan used the word in passing instinctively, what he does. And what Kuminga does not have is those instincts. Here's a guy who, for the time he was in the Congo, for the time he came to the United States, for the time he was in the G League, probably never had to do the things like rebounding. The Kerrs asked him to do rebounding, defense, those kind of things. All he was really needing to do was score, because he was probably miles ahead of everybody else on whatever team he was on. He was probably miles ahead of everyone else in terms of talent. He didn't have to do anything else. All he had to do was worry about putting the ball in the basket. So those instincts never probably did develop. Then you get to a guy like Pajinski, who is not nearly as talented as Kuminga. He's not enough talent to play, of course, but doesn't have his size, doesn't have his ability to score. And let's be real. I hate to bring this into the conversation, but he's a Caucasian guy playing in a world dominated by brothers. So he's got all those things working against him. He had no choice but to use those, but to develop those instincts and be able to get a nose for the ball. Steal the ball, defend, guard, hit the floor when the ball is loose. He had no choice. Now Kuminga's in a league where there is no one else, or I should say there is everyone else who's as good as he is. He does not stand out. He can do some things. That is true. He's certainly a contributor. He's certainly an NBA player for the most part. But he's not the guy that dominated all throughout his youth in entering the pros. And as I'm sure it's hard for him trying to make that adjustment. I'm going to let you go on that, guys. Have a great one.
Thanks, Skills. Yeah, I think, all those things may be true. They may not be. You know, I think it just comes down to they're different players. You know, and whether it's because of their upbringing or not, Kuminga is he's a more naturally talented player than Pajemski is. I don't know if that has anything to do with race or, you know, upbringing, but It is his. He's 6'7". He can jump out of the gym. Pods is a more scrappy player. But also, this is something that maybe it's because of the melanin, but like I think people just assume that Pods is like this cerebral, high IQ guy. He makes an equal amount of dumb plays per game. He still screams at refs. And he still does some things that are not very smart. But it's like they don't get noticed. I don't know. Because Pajemski doesn't jump out of the... Actually, what Pajemski did a couple nights ago against Brooklyn, I thought was hilarious. You see him try to tip slam that ball off a miss?
Yeah. It came down the lane. So yeah. What was he thinking?
I don't know. Like that's not a smart play. That's you trying to make, I don't know, some play that's out of who you are. He does that too. They all do it. They're young guys. I don't know.
I get it though. I get the perception. Like, why does this guy, his rookie year, get to jump to the front of the line? Like, why is he surpassing Moses Moody, for example, and getting all this run? And Steve Kerr obviously has his reasons, and I think Steve Kerr is the last guy in the world, as far as NBA coaches, to play a race card. But I understand it. I don't think – I can see that it's not a good look. I mean, Pajemski suddenly is this, you know, the teacher's pet, and now all of a sudden you got these guys, including Kuminga, including Moody, who are all vying for playing time, and here comes this rookie out of nowhere. Now suddenly is – he's cracked the starting lineup.
I find it strange, though, that people have their ire pointed at Pajemski with, like, if we're talking about Moody, the guy that people should be pissed about, it, if they are, that Moody doesn't play, is Lindy Waters III. I mean, if you want to be honest, like, who's Lindy Waters III?
Yeah.
He's a G League guy from OKC who was a 24-year-old rookie and now is 26. And I'm not trying to bash Lindy. I like Lindy Waters. I think he's a good player. But I'm saying that if you are really mad at somebody for taking Moody's playing time, it shouldn't be the guy at a different position. It should be the guy that is just slightly better at doing all the things that Moody's supposed to be doing.
Well, it's a perfect example as to why it has nothing to do with the race. Because Lindy Waters looks nothing like that of Pajemski. But he jumps to the front of the line. Because again, it's Steve Kerr. Steve Kerr sees this just through a. It's all about basketball. What makes sense to him and gives him the best opportunity within his structure. And it's the same reason why you saw Spencer get some run. And it's the reason why GP2's still playing NBA basketball is because Steve Kerr saw value in this guy back in the day, and why it didn't work in Portland, but it works with the Golden State Warriors. It has nothing to do, I don't think, with skin tone at the end of the day. And I think Lindy Waters is the perfect example. Like, you kidding me? This guy all of a sudden is now the number two and starting? Like, how did he, you know, how did he bypass me if I'm Moses Moody?
Well, and I'm kind of with the 6-5 over here on the Comcast Business Text Line. You know, the Dubs have been playing noticeably different than how they started with Melton Dunn. I want to see them go back to the Curry, Wiggins, Kuminga, Green, TJD lineup. Defense is a starting unit that allows Kerr to adjust offensively based on how the game's playing out. I kind of agree. It is like they've been reverted back to the first 5 or 6 games of the season when they didn't have Melton. And I think the Warriors had 5 or 6 different starting lineups in like their first 8 games or 9 games. I do think that that's something that I would like to see prioritized, because I also think that, again, just getting more wings on the floor, it's how the game is played. Like, I don't think Kuminga's perfect. I don't think Wiggins is perfect. But one thing I will say about JK is I think he does succeed when the game is up and down. Like, he plays well when the game is moving back and forth. I think where he struggles is when the game slows down and he has to execute in the half court. And that's what we saw against Oklahoma City, along with everybody. But when Curry's out there, I don't know. I know he's probably going to go back to the bench, and Kerr basically said as much. But I would like to see him and Wiggins be given some more rope.
And I think that's one of the reasons why Lindy Waters gets run, is because he's a guy who gets shots in motion, and when the game's getting up and down the floor, he can be very fluid in walking into his three. And that's not something that you can say about the other quote unquote shooters on this basketball team. Jonathan Kuminga is just, it's not about him scoring the ball. Even him not shooting the three with any regularity, you like to see it. It's just he really has to at some point, and it's usually the light goes on at some point, and maybe this gets back to having a level of patience. But he's got to recognize that there is no reason why Podziemski should be getting more rebounds than him. And rebounds, just like playing defense in the NFL, it's want to. No one teaches you or tells you, hey, man, you've got to have desire. It's either in the DNA or it's not. And that's an issue with this guy. It's all the other things. That light has got to go on. That if I start playing defense and really buying in to being, you know, tell yourself, you know, set goals for yourself that you're going to be one of the best defenders or an all-NBA, you know, first team defense or second team defense. Like that's where he's got to mature. And that's what it is that he has to see at the end of the day. And I think in order for him to really take that step forward, offense is, yeah, we can nitpick that he can't shoot at three, but I think that, you know, he'll be fine. It's the other things that are weighing him down.
Well, and also hopefully him and Podziemski both regress to the mean positively in regards to shooting. Like, I don't think Pod's going to shoot 19% from three the entire year. I think Kuminga's better than a 30% three-point shooter. Maybe not by a ton, but, like, both of these guys, I don't think we've also seen the best of this season, but they are how the Warriors can raise their ceiling. Like, that is one thing that I do wholeheartedly believe in. If there are two young players that the Warriors are dependent on the most to get the most out of their season, it's those two guys. And if they don't play better than they've been playing, then the Warriors might be, to our caller earlier, Austin, a team that's a few games above 500.
Can we talk All-Star game on the other side?
You want to get? Oh well, it is being hosted here this year. Why, you got a submission for the dunk contest?
No.
You want to throw your name in the three? No. You want to be in the free throw contest?
Yeah. I want to take on Rick Barry. Well, kick his ass. I don't care. He's 80.
He actually might be there, dude. You can't talk about Rick like that, man.
Are you kidding me?
He's a legend.
The best. He was Steph Curry before Steph Curry.
He's better than Steph. That's shooting free throws.
Oh yeah, 91%. He finished his career.
I believe. The coach of Leo also wants to get into the conversation on the other side. We got to hit a break, though. We got 1 hour left on Warriors this week. Every Saturday, 9 to noon. Dan Devone, Evan Giddings, back after this, 95.7 The Game.